writing to the Ephesian saints, he said, for by what?
Grace.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me read it one more time. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. I'd like to deal with grace this morning, or today. How many knows, never looked up in a dictionary, really what grace is? What is grace?
Come on,
what is it? Grace means the love and the kindness of God that is free.
That's right.
It's ready and willing to save and to forgive and to help every soul that's in need that asks God for it.
Man.
A five-letter word that is so powerful that it can reach the meanest and the lowest and the emptiest, oh God, and touch their lives and save and forgive them. That's what God's grace will do. How many knows God's grace sought us? It's by grace that we're saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. God gave us the gift of grace. It's free. None of us earned it whatsoever. You could not have bought salvation. It's a free gift. But you got to believe. It's all that you have to do is say, God, I believe and I receive with all of my heart in that grace. Hallelujah to God. And the grace that sought me, it caught me, it bought me, and it brought me into the family of God. That's what grace will do. It'll catch you. It'll lift you up. The devil would like to destroy you, but grace is what keeps that enemy from taking you out.
Bless him, Lord.
The unmerited, a five-letter word so powerful. It is the unmerited mercy and favor of God.
Yes.
It's his goodwill, kindness, and love that is freely given. We didn't deserve it, and there is nothing we could have ever done to earn it. It's free. Like the song says, amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why that he came to love me so. God looked beyond my faults and he saw my need. He saw me drowning in my sin. He saw me polluted and stained within. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's only son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hands. Yet he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I'll never understand. He came and he died for me and he took my place on a rugged cross. It wasn't the nails that held him there. It was the love of God. He bore all of my sins and brought me out of sin's horrible prison. I am free. And you say, grace did every bit of that for me. Hallelujah. When I was no good, unfit, and unworthy, God looked beyond my faults and saw my need. Can I tell you, you'll never sink so low what God's love cannot reach you, and his mercy can find you. I don't care how stained with sin you may be. You might feel like you're below the bottom and you're sinking in the mire and you're no good and unfit. But God's grace looks beyond all of your faults and all of your sins, and he sees the need of your soul. And can you say, I'm saved by the day by the grace of God? And what was it? Paul said, I was the chiefest among sinners. He said, but I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not the same person I used to be. Can you tell me what it is that can change a man or a woman's heart? It's the grace of God. And Zechariah said, it's called him the Spirit of grace shall be poured upon people, and they'll mourn for him whom they have pierced. Hallelujah. The supplications and the prayers that come out of our heart, it's drawn out of us because of God's grace. I tell you, Brother George, there's a pulling power and there's a drawing power. Hey, Lord, in God's grace, it can reach right down below the bottom for you. Grace did it.
Glory to God.
So I think it's, you ought to heard the McCaney's, they sing a song. Just look at me. I'm a trophy of grace.
Yes.
Hey, God.
Look at me. That's what Paul's saying. He said, I was injurious. In other words, I caused injury.
Amen.
He said, I persecuted the church of the living God.
That's right.
I hailed them, H-A-I-L-E-D. I drug them in chains and had them thrown into prison. I hated God's people. I believed in the Mosaic law, and I did not believe in Christ. I knew everything. I was raised up at the feet of Gamaliel, and I knew the law frontwards and backwards, but he didn't know Jesus. He said, I was a persecutor, and I was no good. He said, but I obtained mercy of God. He said, look at me now. I'm a trophy of grace, what God's grace can do. Raise your little hand. God's grace can take our life and turn it all the way around. It can give you a different view on life. You'll look at others different than what you've ever looked at. Praise be to the Lord. I tell you, when I got up off of my knees that night in 1974, my whole world was turned completely around. God brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. On that very next day, that was a Sunday night between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m., I gave my heart to Jesus. Drugs, alcohol, rock music, the whole nine yards. I know I tell it all the time. And I remember that Monday that rolled around, Dad come home. His custom was he would come through right through the front door in there and lay his lunchbox down while Mom was fixing the supper. And I was already out there on the porch. It's April the 29th, 1974. We ate our supper. Mom hollered. She said, supper's ready. Come on. If my mommy was the type, she would have the table loaded. I'm talking about a country cook. You all know about cooking. Mom would have canned green beans, fried potatoes, fried cornbread. She'd have some kind of a meat, and she'd have that table loaded, fried chicken. I'm telling you, come and eat. We get in there and we feed our faces, and I'm telling you, love was in that home, a Christian mom, a Christian dad, and now their son is saved. Hallelujah. We all got done eating. Mom washed dishes, and we went out there on the front porch and scooted in on that glider. Mom was on one side of me. Dad was on the other side of me. And I was looking out through there, and I said, I'll be right back. I ran in the house in the living room, and I got that big old white family Bible was laying on Mom's coffee table. And I'm telling you, it's about that thick, and open it up, it's about this wide. I came out there, and I scooted right between them. I opened up my Bible to Genesis 1 and 1, and I began to read to Mom and Dad. I said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I said, Mom and Dad, I said, look out there how green that grass is. I've never seen it that green in all of my life. I said, look out across the road upon the hillside. I said, the leaves are so beautiful. I tell you today, I've been saying, April the 28th, 2 days ago. I was saved for 49 years. And can I tell you, the newness has not wore off. I said the newness of it ain't never wore off. I haven't lost the feeling of being born again and being saved. I still got the joy this morning that Jesus put in my heart. I give him a praise in the house. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I said to mama and dad, I said, look, I've never seen such pretty green leaves on a tree in my life. I said, the whole hillside is pretty and green. And I tell you, Brother Rice, I pulled it up, and that was in the evening time. I said, you all look how beautiful that blue sky is. I pulled it over. I said, look at that white cloud. I've never seen a white cloud as white as that in my life. I've been telling you, I'm a trophy of grace. Sometimes what we need is the Lord to open up our eyes and to fill our heart, and that we can see his handiwork and see the beauty of his creation. And can I tell you that the creation around you points to the Creator? We're made in his image and in his likeness, and everything that God's made, he said in the beginning, behold, it is good. But sin has come along and it's turned creation upside down. My Lord, sin is a reproach to any people, and sin will destroy you. It'll mar you and scar you. It'll make you ugly. Hey, Lord. But I'm telling you, Jesus is righteousness and his holiness and his love and his grace will transform you. It'll make something beautiful out of you. I raise another hand and say, that's what he did for me. I roll back the curtain of the law, Lord, and show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. All for the grace of God.
Bless you, Lord. Bless Jesus. Bless you, Lord.
I would have been in hell,
man,
if it wasn't for the grace of God.
Right.
I would be burning right now.
Right.
High on drugs as I could be, and I sat on a chopper Harley Davidson motorcycle. Come a hair, I had a good job. I made bonuses, the only child. I didn't have to pay for nothing in the house. I lived with mom and dad, 20 years of age. I sat on it, and my dream was to get a motorcycle, an extended front end, a chopper on that thing. I sat there and revved it. Come a hair, get my wallet out and going in there with a credit card and getting that motorcycle. That would have been my death nail. How far can God reach? How far will he reach to keep you out of hell?
Amen.
Some of our decisions sometimes, and sometimes of our wants and what we're involved in, it takes us away from God rather than draw us to him.
Yes.
I'm so thankful that I listened to his call.
Yes.
Sister Stacy, Jesus stood in front of my house, my spiritual house. April, he began knocking. I heard it.
Thank you.
I heard that. The Savior of the world stood and knocked on my door.
Praise be to God.
He saw me lost. He saw me sinking. He saw me going down.
Oh.
I didn't even want to live, Shuffy. I didn't. I had nothing to live for. The drugs had just destroyed it all. It just took something out of me that I didn't want to live anymore. But God's grace showed up and began to knock.
Thank you, Lord.
At my heart's door. And Jesus said, if you'll come to me, I'll give you the peace and the joy you're looking for.
God.
I'm so glad that I heard that voice. I'm so glad that on bended knees I said, Lord, I went as far as I could go. I said, I want to live. I want to live. I want to make heaven my home, God.
Amen.
These drugs and alcohol is killing me. The rock news is killing me, Jesus. I don't want the more of it. I don't want any more of the worldly game, dear Lord, that I'm running with. If you'll help me, I'll serve you. And there was a hand that reached further down than I could ever reach up. Grace came and he brought me out of the horrible pit that I was in. He changed my life and turned it all around. Can you say, I want the Lord with all of my heart. I want to serve him. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Grace.
Grace.
I need grace.
Amen.
Grace.
I need your grace, Lord.
Thank you.
Listen, the children of God are here today. The grace that sought you and bought you and brought you into the family of God. You still need that grace every day that you live.
Amen.
Every one of us have problems and we go through things and afflictions. We have our battles. We have our mind battles. We have our worries and our fears and things come against us in this life.
Right.
And that same grace that saved you, that grace will keep you.
Amen.
That grace is sufficient for you. It'll hold you until you
Amen.
Leave this world.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Oh, God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Jesus, Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, I did have no strength to pull myself up. I could not save myself. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Yes.
We could not change or save ourselves.
That's right.
But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Right,
oh, what grace.
Glory to God.
You know what brought sin
Thank
into the world?
Thank you, Lord.
You know what brought the transgression and a disobedience to God's law brought sin into the human race? Listen close. Romans 8:5-12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Notice close. So also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man, Adam, through his offense, his sin, many be dead, much more, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which means forgiveness and eternal life, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Look how the Holy Ghost renders this verse. Much more the grace of God has abounded. It sounds like that there is enough grace to go around, and it is strong enough, and it is more than enough to save anybody, anywhere, anytime, no matter how bad or horrible they are.
Amen.
Woo! Can you say grace is stronger than sin? Hallelujah! Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. It overcomes everything in this life.
Amen.
Thank God. Much more.
Yes.
Much more abound. Grace is sufficient. Carry you, help you, enable you to stand, to bring you through anything, God's grace.
Thank you, Lord. That's right.
I remember when I was first saved, I took my Bible. I was going everywhere, witnessing everybody, going in people's homes and praying for them and stuff. I went in this lady's home, and actually I ran with her son. They called him Killer Heel. Now, he's a killer. He's full of sin, and I ran with him. His mom, he said, when I got saved, he got saved. He said, you want to come and visit my mom, pray with her? I said, yeah. So I took my Bible in there, and I didn't know. So he led me through the living room, went into the corner like this, and into the bedroom, and she had been bedfast for years. She had sugar real bad. She had both legs off right here. The sugar just ate her up. And I went in there, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, what am I going to tell her? How could I encourage her? Just maybe read her a scripture and say a little prayer? I didn't know a whole lot, you know, just freshly been saved. And I got in there, and I tried my best to encourage her and stuff. And she laid there, Brother George, and just raised damn hands and began to praise God and worship the Lord. And she said, looked at me, she said, honey, she's an elderly lady at that time. And she said, honey, she said, I lay here, and she said, I pray and sing to the Lord all the time. And said, he's been so good to me. The Lord's taken so good a care to me. And I thought, if that was a most wonderful picture of God's grace. I went in there a healthy young man, early 20s, strong and healthy. And I went in there to encourage her. And honest, when I carried my Bible and went out, she encouraged me more than I could ever encourage her. Laid right there, and she said, the Lord's been so good to me, son. I praise him. That's a picture of grace. Raise your little hand and thank him. Oh, Jesus, you're precious. Oh, the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 16, for the judgment was by one man, Adam, to condemnation. We were all condemned to die, every one of us, and we were headed to hell under the sentence of death. But the free gift of grace is of many offenses unto justification. Grace is a free gift. It don't cost you a dime. You can't earn it. You don't have to work for it. It's not based on how good you are or all the good things that you've done in life, all the good deeds, all the giving of charity. This grace reaches the lowest and the poorest and offers them heaven's best, both now and through eternity. All God wants in return is your heart. He wants your life. Hallelujah. I stood condemned, ready to go into the pit, that awful pit. But grace saved me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was thinking, Brother Jason, I studied for this, and this is years ago. I don't know if Mary and I was married then or not. I can't remember. We might have been. Dad was building on for the house. He said, son, I need some tuba fours. I think 8 or 10 foot long tuba fours. He said, I need some sheets of plywood and some boards. He gave me the number of how many he needed and the length and everything, and the whole 9 yards. And I was getting ready to get in the truck to go get to Lowe's to get those tuba fours and those boards and stuff. He stopped me. He said, hey, son. I turned around. I said, yeah. What is it, Daddy? He said, I don't care if you have to go through the whole stack of those tuba fours. He said, if you have to pull every one of them out of there and restack them somewhere else, he said, I want you to go through the whole stack and get the ones that are arrow straight, that the straightest that you can get. And I don't want no holes in them. I don't want any knots in them. He said, I want the straightest tuba fours and the straightest boards that you can get. You hear me? I said, okay, Daddy. And that was a chore. I pulled that truck up there and I went in there and I got that old buggy and shoved it back through there. You know, anybody wants to please their dad, you know. And I had the awfulest stack. I had went through pulling it over and stacking over here and everything. I turned this up on its edge, and I turn it over and I can look right down the edge. That's straight enough. It took me forever to go through there. Anybody ever went to Lowe's lately? You can't find nothing straight. Not holes. Splinters. I've been in there before going through the boards. Ow! Oh, I got a splinter in my hand. And things eat you up. But I felt real happy when I pushed all of that out there. I had the very straightest boards and tuba fours that I could find. Loaded them up in the truck and tied them down real good. And on the way home to deliver that to Dad, the Holy Ghost began to deal with my heart. He said, son, And I felt this. He said, your dad wanted the very straightest to build his house. He said, but when I build my house and I build my church, he said, I look for the crooked. I look for the knotted. I look for the splintered. I look for those that's got knots. I felt that go all over me just now. He said, my church is made up of those. And he said, when I get done with them, he said, I do a work of grace on them and I straighten their life out and I smooth them down. And when I get done, they make a beautiful church. Raise your little hand and praise
Lord.
They make the most beautiful church, Brother Jason. Hallelujah. What's God done for you? What's he brought you out of? What is it right now he's doing in your life to make you better and to hone you down and to work in you, to make you soft, to make you humble, to make you willing, to make you obedient? I did not get here overnight. I preach and I teach to you all. I've been, since 1978, I've been preaching and teaching. But I've come through a lot to learn that God don't give up as fast as we do. He's long-suffering and so patient. Ain't you glad of that? In my faults and in my failures and in my weaknesses, there's still something, Stacy, down in my heart says, I still love you, Lord. I love you, and I want to make heaven my home. I want to serve you. And those crooked things in my life, when God gets done, he straightens out your path. Hallelujah. I said, he'll bring the mountains down. Ain't that what it says? When God called, who was it, John the Baptist? He said, go before the Son of Man and the Son of God and prepare a highway in the desert because Jesus is coming. He said, the crooked shall be made straight and the mountains will be brought down and the valleys will be filled. That's what the Lord does. I tell you what, he makes us all level. Oh, praise be to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to be level-headed, God. Teach me the right way. Hallelujah, the straight and the narrow way. Raise your little hand. I want the straight way, Brother Jason. I want to go and I want to live straight and walk straight. Hallelujah.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So, Paul was a saying in his letter to the Romans, out of all the many offenses and because of all the many wrongs, there came grace, which was God's gift to lift us up out of that sin.
Yes.
Forgive us and wash us and take away all condemnation out of our heart because you know you're right with him. Thank God, grace removes the rags of our sins. It justifies us and clothes us with pure garments of salvation. For if by one man's offense death reigned over the human race and it became king over all the human race, it owned them and controlled them because of Adam's sin, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So here we were before Christ ever came. We's condemned without hope, corrupt, dirty, bound, lost, unworthy of heaven, on our way to hell with the horrible, irrevocable sentence of eternal punishment waiting to be executed upon us. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Much more.
Some of us had one foot in hell and the other one was slipping fast when God saved us.
Yes.
I know that he pulled me out of the fire, Brother Daniel Bragg. He pulled me out of the fire.
That's right.
He saved me.
Lord.
He saw something in me that he could use.
That's right.
What's he seeing when he looks in your life? Can he use you? Can he work on you? Can he make you better?
Oh.
Will he? Let him make you better.
Yes.
And draw you closer.
Thank you, bless you, God.
What's God want out of us?
Mom.
We're here for a purpose.
Yeah.
We're here for a reason. Work on me, Jesus, in my heart, my thought life, my mind, my very soul. Work on me. And make me, Jesus, something beautiful, a trophy of grace.
Yes.
Really and truthfully, Brother George, there's no comparison between sin and grace. How powerful is sin? You ever thought of it? Sin is the cause of all sorrow, all shame. Remember, from sin came the curse, and with the curse, sickness, sadness, hurt, pain, broken hearts, and every other trouble. But God's grace is far greater. It's an abounding grace for every need, both now and every tomorrow of your life until we leave this world. Woo, glory. Abound means when you hit it bounds. It means God's grace will prevail with more than enough. It's an overflowing supply. Your Heavenly Father wants you to know that His grace is bigger. It is stronger. It is greater than sin. It has no trouble lifting up and sustaining you when you're weak and when you're going through it. Just think, God's grace is stronger than a one-time deliverance. It's not just a one-time application, but it keeps right on keeping you and keeping you going and enduring for many months and years on end through the roughest and the hardest times. Grace will show up when you're in the furnace of affliction. It'll be there in the valley of the shadow of death. Dear child of God, grace will meet you in the morning, and it'll be with you all day long. It stays with you through the long, lonely nights. It's there in the good times, hallelujah, but it really shows up in the bad times. It is the dearest and the sweetest and the nearest in the times of suffering. It knows how to comfort. This sweet grace will console you in your sorrow. Hallelujah. This divine grace is none other than God's gentle Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter that is sent down from God out of heaven to be with you forever. It is sent to minister to you and to help you in your time of need. God's grace is sufficient, and it's continually being made sufficient. It is an overflowing, constant, daily grace for every growing need. Hallelujah. It is ever nigh and is close by the sick bed of the suffering saint. How many times has this wonderful grace showed up in a dear brother and sister's prayer and words of encouragement that came right when you needed it? God's grace will. It'll fill the void. It'll fill the emptiness that is left behind in the time of trouble, in the time of loss. You can be down to nothing. Hey, Lord, that's when grace shows up and does its best. Hallelujah, when we're down to nothing.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Bless. Give him a wave up in the house. Well, I say glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. He looked beyond my fall and he saw my need. He knows right where you are. He knows when you hurt. Hallelujah. And grace can come and minister.
Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Where sin abounds, it looks like it abounds and abounds. Brother Jason, it's getting darker than it's ever been. Gross darkness has covered our planet. Wickedness, evil, ungodliness. But the Bible said where sin abounds and it's growing and getting stronger and stronger, he said, my grace doeth much more, much more, much more abound.
Yes.
Don't you ever tell me you can't make it. You can make it.
Yes.
I'm going, hallelujah, I'm going on to heaven. I'm going to make it. Glory.
Oh, God.
This grace is a fountain that never runs dry.
Yes.
Whew. Hang on a minute. God's ocean of grace has no sides,
no side,
and no bottom to it.
Come on now.
It is fathomless. It can't be measured. It is matchless. It's a wonderful act of God that is over and above anything and everything that this world and the devil and sin could ever do and send. Remember, grace doeth much more abound in super abundance and then more added to it. God takes the top off, hallelujah, so to speak, of his boundless grace, and he says to the needy souls, whosoever you are that are hurting, why don't you come to me? There's enough for you. Come, there's help, and come, there's hope, come, there's comfort, come, there's salvation, and there's healing, and there's a lifting up. I'm telling you, you cannot swim up to the bottom of God's ocean of grace. You can't fathom it, hallelujah. It's greater than the mountain, the great Smoky Mountains, and you've been there and you've seen them. I'll tell you, if you could weigh it in a scale, it ain't nothing to compare to God's mountain of grace. Raise your other hand and praise him. It's bigger, it's greater, it's stronger, and it is sweeter, and it's sufficient for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Really, I don't know any other way I could explain how. I'm a writer. That's just, I see all these things. And why God's good grace touches a man who is so unworthy.
Come on.
It's amazing, Brother George. One preacher preached in his camp meeting. He said, I've seen little kids' grace touch their little hearts. I forgot the age, maybe Brother Jason can remember. He said, I've seen them at a young age. Jesus' grace got a hold of their little heart, and they called out to the Lord and got saved. He said, I've seen old rugged men in their 80s come to God, and God's grace get a hold of their heart and soften them. I've seen them in their 80s come to Jesus and get saved. That's what grace does. Don't ever give up on anybody. Grace is the spring, listen, and the source of every blessing that you'll get, that you will ever receive in life. Every good thing that comes to you flows from God's mercy. Listen, through the channel of grace. Remember, God's door of mercy opens to you on the hinges of grace.
Man.
Yes.
What good's a door without any hinges? It would never open.
Right.
So what God is saying, he said, I've got mercy for you.
Mercy.
And when I swing the door of mercy open, it swings wide open on the hinges of grace. I say it unto you, come on into the throne room. You can obtain mercy and find grace to help you in the time of need. Raise your hand and praise him. I hope you all got something out of this today. I want you to know, everybody in this house, I love you. I love you dearly with all of my heart. But God's grace and mercy is much greater than I am.
Much greater.
I can touch you and seek to help you and comfort you and be a blessing to you. But oh, when God's grace and God's Spirit comes in,
amen,
it's much bigger and it abounds. It abounds.
Yes, yes. Amen.
That's good. Blessed Lord.
Oh, and we raise a hand. Thank God,
Lord,
for his word.
Lord,
we thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we thank you.